Hey, Husky fans, welcome back to Fourth and Inches, a Husky podcast. My name is Trevor Mueller. With me is UW Leah and Coach V. And we had two major hires over the last week since we talked about the departure of Troy Dannon and, of course, the departure of Mike Hopkins. Now we have we got a new basketball coach, Danny Sprinkle, and we got Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chung to come to Washington. There's a lot of feelings about that, but let's start with the one that happened first. Danny Sprinkle, what do you guys got on the hire there?
I'm just going to go ahead and shout out the interim athletic director, Erin O'Connell, because even though Troy Dannon started this hire, she was the one that landed the plane. And she has a strong track record of making outstanding hires at the University of Washington in duress sort of situations. So that is a great tip of the cap to her. Obviously, Troy Dannon did his homework before the end of the season, so located Danny Sprinkle. So far, at first blush, it looks like an absolutely slam dunk of a hire. He sounds like he's a lifelong Husky, and boy, do we love that, especially a guy who's had a track record of success, a young coach. By all intents and purposes, it looks like this is something of a dream job for him, and we love to see it. What do you think, Coach?
I've been talking about this guy for weeks and weeks and weeks. And after a conversation that, you know, we had last week and we talked a little bit about it on the last pod, I believe, I was really worried that after Dannon left, this wasn't going to get done. Cause by all accounts, this was like a slam dunk. It was going to happen eventually as soon as they were done with their run in the NCAA tournament. And then I got really nervous and I was like, you know what? It would be so University of Washington to mess this up when it was just right there in front of us. So very, very happy. I got home today from work and I decided that, well, you know, the dogs are outside, you know, and taking care of things around here. I'm going to go, you know, watch YouTube and watch the press conference and everything I've ever thought about this guy. I just kind of like, it's just reassuring to hear him talk with passion about the University of Washington. And he strikes me as a guy who's super grateful for all the opportunities he's been given. And, you know, he was talking today about, you know, everybody thinks this is meteoric rise that he's just sort of burst onto the scene. But he's been going at this for the better part of 15 years as an assistant. He said, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, he was living in a one bedroom apartment in California and just hoping that he was going to get his big break. And, you know, I know that, you know, coming full circle, getting hired at probably, like you said, his dream job, he's going to take this extremely seriously and he's going to want to give Washington a championship caliber program. So I am super excited.
Couldn't agree with you more. I also just was really moved by how emotional he got about how much Raekwon Battle means to him.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
A local kid, you know, transferring over to Montana State after some stuff that was going on in his personal life over in Seattle. And Raekwon attending Coach Sprink's conference, showing how much he still cares for UW, even though he's not here anymore. Once a dog, always a dog really rings true for that kid. And I was just really moved by how much Coach Sprink feels for his players, like wants this to be a player-run program. And also is committing to saying, like, you know, I'm not going to be your best friend always, but I want you to be great. And I'm going to push you. And I think that that's what's been missing. And I also feel like, I mean, it is possible when you are at a school that is not a blue blood, that if a coach does well, they might go somewhere else that is a blue blood. We've seen that a couple of times. But if it's done well, if this coach is happy and he's with his family right here, coaching the team that he grew up rooting for, it's going to take a lot in addition to success for him to leave. And that gives me a lot of comfort and peace and excitement about this hire.
I thought he was extremely well-versed, not only about the program, but just the task at hand, moving to the Big Ten. And he spoke specifically about, this isn't the Pac-12. They play a different style of basketball in the Big Ten. It's slow down. It's more physical. But he also reiterated just kind of being true to, you know, who they are and the speed of play that they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressed with the games that I did get to see of them this year, just ball movement and the high skill level and just always pressure, always pushing the ball forward, and always trying to find the advantage. That last game obviously wasn't their game. They went up against the buzzsaw, got guys in foul trouble, and it's Purdue, whatever.
Purdue's going to probably win the whole dang thing this year, so
they're very good. That's another program we've got to deal with in the coming years. Mm-hmm. But I am sincerely optimistic that he's not coming alone, that he's bringing some guys with him.
I think we're seeing the first signs of that today, actually, on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's a slam dunk. I really want his two big guys to come to Montlake. And back to Raekwon Battle, man. I had some very heated debates with people when he was, first, second year in the program. And I'm like, I don't know what we're doing wrong. I don't know how we're failing this kid, because he has all the upside in the world. He should be a 25-point-a-game scorer. He is so physically and just kind of skill-wise, he's just the ability to shoot and drive and elevate, and he had long arms. And I'm like, this guy should be a star. Mm-hmm. And he leaves the program, and what happens? He goes and finds Danny Sprinkle, who spoke about him like he's a son almost. Mm-hmm. And talking about how proud he is that he's about to graduate from the University of Washington in the next few months. And I mean, I coach. So, I understand, the emotional attachment that you feel to guys that go to battle for you. And we were just having this conversation with some of the coaches on my staff today, this morning on the phone. But you can tell that he loves his guys. You can tell that it means something to him that he wants to develop them as people. The Chris Peterson mantra, the built for life, the sort of like, we want our guys to be successful after they're done playing. And it sounds like he's that type of guy who's got that character. Right. And like I said, I think the X's and O's stuff, I think he's brilliant at, but the culture building is going to be the most important part.
Absolutely. And I really liked his personal touches of mentioning former players, some who are on staff, some that are just really famous alumni, because I think he really wants those guys, their buy-in, their support, because they know how, and he even mentioned this many times in his presser, that the Seattle area is an absolute hotbed for basketball talent, maybe not for big guys, but especially for the mid-range guards and forwards. We can get a lot of those kids from the Seattle area. And he also emphasized nationwide and, worldwide recruiting, which is going to be so important as we go to the Big Ten. So I think he said all the right things. I think mentioning all of our alumni, our recent alumni, and talking about them with such pride, and yeah, just like saying that this is not going to be easy, but he's really committed. And like, he knows like that we play for not ourselves so much, but like for everybody who's ever worn the purple and gold jersey, we represent everybody. So when we don't do a good job, it reflects poorly on everybody. And we want to like win, lose, or draw, we want to make sure that we're giving our best effort. And I really have faith that he's going to do that. He's got a great attitude. He's got a lot of support from his family. His dad's a football alum. I love the part in his presser where he said that he skipped out on some of Montana State and Utah State's football games to watch the Dogs this year on football. So purple and gold runs deep, and you love a guy like that on your staff. This is such a great hire.
Before I transferred to the University of Washington, I was at Central Washington University. Before that, I was playing baseball at Yakima Valley. This is a long time ago. This is before a lot of the people listening were born. But I used to, on Saturdays, sometimes go to the football game, Central's playing whoever, Division II. And then I'd look at my watch and be like, Huskies are playing in about 45 minutes. I got to get out of here, And people are like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to go watch my real team. And I know guys on the team at this point, I'm like, they're not going to know that I'm not here. So yeah, I can totally relate. Very interested to see who Danny Sprinkle is going to hire to fill out mm-hmm. the rest. Hired Tony Bland this week, which mm-hmm. is an interesting hire because, he kind of got thrown under the bus, with the recruiting stuff from a few years ago. And I just want to point out that we live in a world where Everything that they were accused of at USC is completely legal and above board now. So I think he's going to be a really good asset for the program, just building the roster
And
and all.
is he based out of LA? Is that going to help with LA recruiting?
I honestly don't know where he's based out of, but I know that obviously he was a USC coach, so he's probably got that area pretty well nailed down. He coached with Andy Enfield, who, I think we talked earlier this week about, I remember all the stories about Enfield's FGCU squad when I lived in Fort Myers, and they made that tournament run, and I would just see and hear things around town. I'm like, well, they're trying to be big time. That's cool. They're winning, so it covers a lot of warts. But, I don't think we can really live in that world now where we just kind of point fingers and say, well, he's cheating or they're cheating or they're doing it, because everything is pretty much okay to do.
Right. And
With
also, like, you
money
know,
or acquisition.
totally. Like, you're telling me a coach that coached in Florida and then Southern California is not completely clean. Pardon me while I take my jaw off the floor. But I get, to your other point, like, all the things that he was accused of are completely legal now. So that's great. Let's hit the portal. Let's make sure we fill out this roster, because I hope that Corin Johnson stays, but he probably won't. So we'll see.
I will be devastated if he leaves, because I thought he was playing amazing
Like,
basketball
yeah.
this season. I kept saying in our group chat, I kept saying, why doesn't Corn start? And I understand, certain guys are, seniors, or they've got, when you get guys in the portal, they're promised certain things, and there's certain commitment that goes there. But Corn was easily playing the best out of all the guards.
Corin just
And
plays, he plays tough. He does the little things. He hits his open shots. He does everything that, as a fan, and I'm sure as a coach, that you're asking your kids to do. And so I really hope, because if Danny Sprinkle is valuing toughness, and I think, is Corin from the Seattle area? Okay, so if he's valuing local kids and the brand of, like, what Husky basketball is all about, they've got to make sure that Corin Johnson stays.
A few years ago, a couple years ago, my Auburn Trojans kind of shocked the bracket and won state in basketball for the first time ever. And they had to go through Corin Johnson and his squad. And, they end up obviously winning. And one of my friends who's back home was like, the coach, one of the coaches was talking about, my God, that kid is going to be so good someday. Corin Robinson, Corin Johnson is going to be a star. And all the stuff you mentioned is absolutely true, but I think there's so much more in the tank with him. I think he had a chance to be one of those high impact guys, offensively, defensively, just
Didn't he have,
impact.
like, when we played, what was it, like, Utah? He had like 30 points or something. It was a game late in the season where he just went off. Remind
Yeah,
me of,
three after three after
yeah.
three. Drive after, yeah, he was incredible.
Could not miss. Kept heaving up heat checks that he kept hitting, so.
That's what's in there. That's what he's got in the basement. So it's just, maturity and opportunity to, kind of shine like that. I just hope it's at UW, but if it's not, I'm going to be that kid's biggest fan, just rooting for him wherever he goes.
Absolutely. What kind of roster slots are we going to need to beef up or replenish in the wake of this coaching change, do you think?
God, it really depends on who comes back, right? Like there's talk that, Frank Kepnong has a COVID year of eligibility left. He's had the injuries the last couple of years.
Okay.
Like, oh, okay, cool. Obviously, Keon Brooks and Savon Wheeler are gone. Just off the top of my head, there's some young guys in the program. Yates, he hasn't even played yet. I think he and Frank were both at the press conference today, is what I heard. So, obviously, guys that we need to keep in the boat if possible. Zoom Diallo, obviously, he committed. He's a top 20 national player in our own backyard. I'm pretty certain that Danny Sprinkle is going to be all over that kid. Say, hey, we need you here, buddy. Like, let's go. And he may be a one and done type of kid. You never know, but usually when a kid's a top 20 player, that's kind of how their mentality is. Like, I'm gonna go to college for 1 year and then go test the league. But obviously, you can't keep losing players that are top 20 players. You can't lose Azum Diallo. You can't use lose a Paolo Banchero. You can't lose guys like that on a regular basis. And
especially if they're legacy kids like Paolo.
Both of his parents, UW athletes. I remember his mom.
So do I. I think I watched every single game that she played at Heck Ed. So
she was a beast.
Absolute beast with great hands. One of the best post players that's ever come through UW. And her son is good as advertised and seems like a really great kid. And very, very much committed to the community of Seattle, even though he's in Orlando now. So we need to make sure that the kids who are the best kids in the city and in like the greater Seattle area and even in the state are staying home. It's really important. You don't represent Washington by going to Durham, North Carolina and saying you're from Seattle. That's not the way it's done.
I mean, over the last 30 years, I've seen a lot of guys. There are guys that I used to hoop against back in the day who, you know, end up being U of A Wildcats and going to UCLA and going to other schools, going to, you know, it sucks because, you know, you see these guys. I'm sorry, but when I was in high school, the scariest dude on a basketball court was Michael Dickerson.
Oh, yeah.
He was 6'5", long arms, could shoot the three, could dunk on your head. He got robbed of being a McDonald's All-American in 94 and went to U of A, went with Jason Terry, who was originally committed to University of Washington. They went to national championship in 97. We have a lot of kids who have stayed, but not enough.
Right. That's something that I think that Danny Sprinkle, I mean, I think that everybody who's coached at Washington has made that a huge priority, but unfortunately it wasn't successful with Mike Hopkins. I mean, we had just too many kids from the Seattle area leave. So we're just, especially Paolo, because Paolo hurts a little bit more because of what we just talked about with him being a legacy. So obviously want to get the best players, but when they are the son of alumni, that just seems like it's slam dunk. But when you're not running a good program, why would he stay? I get it.
And exactly. I remember, you know, I don't want to say his name out loud, but the TW years of football, the Tyrone. And there was that one really big in-state class with Jake Locker, Jonathan Stewart, Steve Schilling, Taylor Matthews, and I remember having a conversation with somebody at a game 2 years ago and like, man, I love Jake Locker. I'm like, yeah, I love Jake Locker. I named my dog after Jake Locker back in the day. But he was very angry at the other guys. And I'm like, let me just paint you a picture. You're the top offensive line prospect on the West Coast. You want to go watch practice. You show up and your name's not on a list. So they turn you away. That's what happened to Steve Schilling.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then you think about, well, Jonathan Stewart, he went to Oregon. Well, where else was he going to go? Was he going to stay home? Taylor Mays, really? Like, I love Jake Locker for staying home and just putting his body on the line for a program that was short on talent and short on recent success. But I could not put anybody in that position of like feeling some sort of way about them not staying when it was that regime. Please run, go away. Did it, you know, Paolo, I wanted him to stay home and he probably would have helped us, but guess what? He went to Duke. He became was he the top pick in the draft?
Yes.
Yeah. And now he's ascending star player. Like, I don't think his decision hurt him one bit.
No. And I mean, like, I don't fault him for saying, like, representing Seattle when he's in the back in the community and running camps. What I don't super like is when we've got a pretty decent, like, football, basketball program and kids are leaving, but for whatever reason, saying they're going to represent Seattle. It's like, you represent Seattle by and large when the program is doing well by staying home and making it great. That's how you rep Seattle.
100%.
So Trevor is back. He's joining us. We're talking about the Sprinkle hire and talking about what kids we might need to think about either getting to stay or like kind of what supplements we might need on the roster for the men's basketball program, given like we're not sure who's going to leave, who's going to stay at this point.
Yeah, the beauty of the basketball side of things is you can overhaul your roster in an off season. So there's already one Utah State player in the transfer portal. I'm assuming he's going to be a Husky. Obviously, Corian Johnson's the most important one on the roster. Frank Campaign was at the press conference. He's still got a year of eligibility. If he could stay healthy, he's a really good basketball player. So it's I know you guys have already talked about it. I love the hire. He has a little bit of Leslie Knope in him. I don't know if you saw that in his press conference where he was pissed. He's not from Pullman. He was born in Pullman.
Oh, he's like talking about Eagleton.
Yeah, that Leslie was actually born in Eagleton, and she's like, don't punish me for the sins of my mother. So
Amazing poll, Trevor. Good job.
I appreciate that. Yeah, fantastic hire, and it's he wants to be here. This was the job that he wanted, regardless of whether Troy Dannon was here or not. And I heard you give the shout out and I was leaving. Just well done by the staff that's still there. And now we get to move into, have you guys started talking about the athletic director at all?
No, we were kind of waiting for you, and we can start that off right now.
Man, this is such a weird hire because I think it's a good hire. He's everywhere that Pat Chung has gone, he's been successful. Starting his career out at Ohio State and then moving to Florida Atlantic. And I'm missing one. Where was he before Washington State? Or was it just Washington State after that?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And then and everywhere he's gone, he's been successful in the thing that really matters in college sports right now, and that's fundraising. I don't.
And to have success with that in the Palouse
Yeah.
at Washington State, where you are at a significant disadvantage in every way, facilities, finances, like ability for alumni to contribute financially, you are in a huge hole. And by and large, like, I mean, he made some really shrewd hiring decisions with coaching, like, with like getting rid of Rolo. I'm not sure if Dickert's great, but he got him and he got him extended. Kyle Smith
Dickert
turned out
was
to be a
really
great
good
coach.
for what they needed at the time after the Rolovich issue.
Agreed.
He galvanized the program. It's, as much as we can dunk on them, that fan base is such a loyal fan base that really cares and is dialed in. And yeah, his hires will go down as quality hires.
Absolutely.
I'm spacing on the women's basketball coach's name.
Cammie Etheridge,
Yeah.
she has been, I mean, I will just speak on behalf of probably Washington State fans, but they've not had any sort of success in any way in the last 35 years. Washington had an 18-year winning streak against Washington State. This lady comes in and basically smashes it. Washington State is at a dead even lock right now in terms of talent and coaching. And it's because of that coach who was kind of plucked from obscurity in Texas. And that's due to Pat Chun. He also hired Kyle Smith, who
Yep.
just got hired away by Stanford. So he's got a really good track record of hiring good fits that are going to elevate the brand, elevate the program. And that's what you really want. You want to make sure that your top three to four sports are consistently competing, and I have confidence that under his leadership, that will continue to happen. The biggest worry that I have is that we are not a blue blood, and so if he performs well, we are always at a risk of him leaving for a blue blood school. But if we're doing our job, that's a good problem to have.
Oh, 100%. And the table is set for him to do well. And I know that there was some shakeup with Troy Dannon coming in and getting rid of some of the administrators that had been entrenched at Washington. But you look at the backbone of Aaron O'Connell, Andy Fee, and there's one more that I'm missing who is
Shannon
also,
Kelly.
yes, there's really, really competent people directly below him that you know, O'Connell and the other one have been here for a while, but Andy Fee's a new hire that did a really good job at Long Beach State. So
if all three of those support staff and certain terms of senior associate athletic directors have very different experience and ties to UW, because Erin O'Connell rode at UW, but then has spent most of her professional career working in other places. Andy Fee, I don't believe, besides working here now, has a connection to UW. And then Shannon Kelly was a women's basketball player in the 90s, and most of her professional career has been inside the athletic department at UW. So really variety of like experience within the athletic department. But I think that serves Pat Chun well to understand culture.
100%. And he's mingled in the Northwest so much, having to, you know, come over to the West side a lot to speak to a lot of the alumni base. So
we call it the winner's side, actually. The winner's side of the Cascades.
but I like the hire for that. The optics of it, of course, that's what a lot of my Cougar friends are saying right now, that it's a really, the optics of it suck.
It does.
And I don't disagree with them. It's where we're at. It's haves and have nots, and it's not necessarily that Washington is the haves of the haves, because just like you were saying, this could 100% happen to us, to a program that you wouldn't expect it to.
Absolutely.
It happened in football, which you expect something like that, but when it comes to an athletic director leaving Seattle to go to Lincoln, you don't see that come.
And also, like, again, like, it was directed mostly at us before, but like, when you have a really highly performing employee and you're not a blue blood, you have to expect that they're not going to stay there forever, because they're going to be wanting to elevate their career. And unfortunately for Wazoo, it was to Washington, and that is the big sting. I don't think it stings as much that he left, it's where he left for. And I 100%. Get it.
100%. Coach, what do you expect out of Pat Chung as the AD at Washington?
I expect him to be incredibly plugged in, as we know that change can happen pretty fast, as we've learned in the last several months. Every AD has got to have a list that has a number one, a backup to the number one, a one, you know, exactly, just kind of down the line. He's got to be able to be the best fundraiser we've ever had. And you know, we've had a lot of, I think, what is Pat's like the 14th AD we've had?
17.
Okay. So the goal is to be better than everybody else. Because in this new age of NIL and the changing landscape of college football, especially, and the way we're going to be moving into the Big Ten, and then who knows what the Big Ten is going to look like in 5 to 10 years. If we're standing here with two power conferences in 10 years and it doesn't look anything like what it looked like when we grew up, somebody who's got to set us up to be in the best possible position to keep having a seat when the music stops. He's got to be agile. He's got to be forward thinking. He's got to have answers to questions that haven't been asked yet. So he could be here for 3 years. He could be here for 10 years. I don't really care, but he's got to raise a ton of money, and he's got to put us in the best possible position to pivot whenever the wind changes.
That's really well said. And I think that it's going to be, he can really focus on that, because he's walking into a situation where, while there is a new head football coach, the track record seems like this is going to be a good hire. There's a up and coming men's basketball coach. You have one of the greatest coaches in softball. You have a baseball coach in his second year. That's still to be determined. And Tina Langley, I don't know, Leah, that one's a tough one. But when you look at some of the bigger sports, a lot of the coaching staff, at least on paper right now, looks like it should be pretty good. I think the question mark is around baseball, and then Langley herself.
Yeah. I mean, the good news about hiring these new athletic directors is that, first of all, none of these, except for Tina Langley, none of them have been hired by Jen Cohen, so that's great. So we can't say like, oh, this is so great because she hired them, whatever. And also because there's new leadership, there's going to be less ties. So if someone's not performing, they will leave.
Yeah.
This is Tina Langley's fourth year. This was a very disappointing year, especially a first round exit from the WBIT this year. So that's not acceptable. I think there's just a chemistry problem with the team this year. I expect things to get better next year, but all around, like, I mean, Pat Chun's pretty much set up for success right now. I think there's some iffy things about the volleyball team, but everywhere else seems to be humming.
I don't know what I spent some time digging into Troy Dannon, and I felt like I had a pretty good beat on kind of what he's going to be. And I feel like Chung is a good hire, that having somebody like him do well in the same region that you are, bringing in money to a program that can struggle to bring in is I don't know, in baseball terms, it's like hitting a double. Like, I think that it's hard to, the floor is pretty high. I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't know anything about any of his innovation of anything outside of, you know, being really creative to get dollars coming to a place basically in the middle, a college town in the middle of nowhere. Overall, I think it's great. Coach, we talked about it a little bit. There was a few guys, specifically the TCU guy, that I think your point was best taken, that he's probably a through and through private school guy from here on out, from where he went to college and through.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, somebody brought this up, the idea of Pat Chun, in the group chat. And I was kind of on the fence. You know, I hadn't really given much thought because I didn't really think we were going to need an athletic director this soon. But as I kind of dug into it, because my response was, is this what we need? Is this the best we could do? Like, I know it's short notice, but I think it's a fine hire no matter what. I don't think it's going to be a bad hire in any way. But as you kind of dig into it, two things make me feel really good about this hire. One, his track record. Obviously, he's not like, he worked at Washington State, but he's not a local guy. I mean, he's an Ohio State grad, right? He's kind of been around and seen how the operation works, and he's been successful wherever he's been. The second part that makes me feel really good about this is that all the Cougs are crapping all over him and saying what a jerk he was and how he wasn't well liked and blah 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 blah. Well, he just got a massive upgrade in his professional life by leaving you. So of course you're going to be upset. And just like all the people came out of the woodwork the last couple of weeks saying, you know, Troy Dannon. And I heard a lot of weird stories over the last few weeks, even before he got hired. And I was like, okay, that's not good. But is he doing his job? And then he leaves for Nebraska. I'm like, okay, cool. I know where the Cougs are. I know their level of panic, you know, like what else can happen to us? Like, there's so much uncertainty with what they're dealing with. And I don't take pleasure in that. I just, when I'm dealing with, you know, Cougs, angry Cougs on Twitter, I'm always going to call it Twitter. I'm not going to call it X.
Me too.
When I deal with those guys, or they say something about my school and it's just kind of, you know, misinformed or whatever, I try to come, you know, with a little bit of compassion. But after a while, you just have to revel in the Coug tears.
And I mean, like, they weren't exactly kind to us when KDB left.
No, and that's
like, and so, like, I think that, you know, honestly, karma, you know, is not a nice thing.
Just last week.
Literally. Like, we fired our basketball coach.
Stepping stone school, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you need to chill, because this Pat Chun stuff has been in the air. Like, I can't believe they were just so free. I mean, you know, our basketball team is so good and it's better than yours, and we have an athletic director. And almost instantly, the clock struck midnight. And Sorry.
I
And
feel
then
bad, but I also feel like when you talk that much garbage, sometimes karma comes around and bites you in the butt. And Washington State hates Washington more than they love the Cougs. That's the reality of the
been like
matter.
that my entire life.
Exactly. Mine too.
And talking all that mess, and a week later, your basketball coach is at Stanford, your athletic director is at your hated rival. I mean, they're not our rival, but we're their rival. So, I mean, let's what else could go wrong? I mean, Pac 2, woo! Good job, buddies.
I mean, like, the reality is the whole realignment of the conferences has made a lot of things shake up, and the two losers in this have been OSU and WSU, with Smitty leaving for Michigan State. The Cougs lost their volleyball coach, who, like, I think they went to the Sweet 16 this year. She would move to West Virginia. Not sure if that's an upgrade from Pullman, but whatever. Kyle Smith, like, that's a great upgrade going to Stanford. And there's somebody on Twitter like, oh, you think some of the Cougar players are going to transfer to Stanford? Like, I don't know, guys. I don't know
I want to
if
talk to
that
admissions about that.
can happen.
Thought it was hard to get. He thought it was hard for us to get transfers. They don't get transfers there.
No.
They'd have to like come from Yale or something.
It's really difficult even then. I mean, you just don't see it a whole lot. And you don't see transfers out of Stanford, and you really, really don't see transfers in. Particularly not from Wazoo. So,
I mean, there's a couple other guys on the roster who are more than welcome to drive over the mountains.
oh, yes.
And I'm not going to throw names out there because it's just insensitive and whatnot. But I
Oh, are
mean,
you sensitive now, coach?
I've always listen. I work with children. Nobody's more empathetic than I am to the human condition.
Aww.
However, if we're talking about the Kooks, I'll say I don't hate the Kooks. I have empathy for their situation. But I forget all of that as soon as they start popping off about my school.
Completely agree.
You know how many times online I've seen the interactions go back and forth on social media, and one dude in the thread almost every time says, "You probably didn't even go to UW." And I'm thinking to myself, that's really the worst thing you could like, you gotcha. Because I've known a lot of Cougs fans over the years. A lot of them didn't even go to college. They just happened to live on the east side of the mountains, and that was their pro team over there. I mean, farmers, ranchers, guys who work, real actual labor jobs. You have a team. If you're in Spokane, you're gonna root for the Cougs. If you're in Yakima, you're probably a Cougs fan, right? But I don't think they're taking 90,000 people a year at admissions. So all these Coug graduates and these Coug students who are making up 100% of their fan base, just effing chill.
Right.
Don't gatekeep people's fandom. Like that's what
Love
Little
that.
Brother always says.
That's a
Now, my
great thing to
thing is,
say.
if you can't believe that all these fans went to UW, A, you probably didn't get into UW. B, you probably think that it was such an achievement to get in such a prestigious university that you can't fathom that people would be a sports fan and got into the school. So really what you're saying is UW is an amazing place that is so up top that the mere thought of people actually matriculating to the school
You
is
just lost all the Coug listeners by saying the word matriculating. I'm sorry.
I was trying to disorient them, honestly.
Completely right about everything. It's pettiness on their part. And I do, like you, I have a lot of empathy for it. I feel bad that this happened this way. But what are you gonna do? If it wasn't gonna be Washington, it was gonna be somebody else. Pat Chum was not gonna stay there forever, and I'm sorry that it was us. But he wasn't gonna stay, and you were gonna crap all over him as soon as he left. So now he gets to move his family only 300 miles away instead of thousands of miles.
And I just want to say, honest to goodness, If it were up to me, in a perfect world, we would still be the Pac-12 and we would have had competent leadership for the last 15 years.
Yes.
We would have been a viable, marketable entity
Yes.
that should have stayed together because it sucks. All
Yep.
right. I'm excited about the Big Ten, but it really sucks. And I'm thinking about all of our non-revenue sports, male and female athletes who are going to be subjected to the travel. And football plays once a week. That's an easy trip. Basketball plays two times a week. Okay, I get it. But when you're baseball, when you're softball, when you're going across country and having to play these series in maybe not the best weather, how do you make up that game if you get rained out? The rowers, the golfers, the tennis players, the gymnasts, like all of these athletes who are going to kind of have to figure it out. This is not a perfect situation.
No, and what we had is a great product that got run into the ground by greedy people at the top with like overspending and deprioritizing the brand of the Pac-12, which was it is a great brand. It is a travesty that is ending. And at the same time, if we just sat here on our heels and did nothing, we would be one of the ones being cannibalized. And so I'm very grateful for the leadership we had at the time for not allowing that to happen. And for landing us in as good a spot as we can get. And I'm happy to be in the Big Ten. It's a great brand too. But like you, like no one wanted this to happen. It's really disappointing. And I feel for the Cougs. But what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Two things can be true at once. You can be bummed about it. You can be excited about the future. What the reality is, Washington is in a more stable spot than they were a week ago at the highest levels of this program that bring in the money. And also not feel good about the fact that it's at the expense of Washington State, and the conference at large. So, final thoughts?
I'm excited about the direction of the
Oh, go ahead, Leah.
program. Oh, sorry. I'm excited about the direction of the program in men's basketball and the leadership of Pat Chun. Like I said, he's made some really great leadership decisions and some great hires. He seems to have a really square head on his shoulders, and he relies on the leadership of those around him that understand the culture of where he's at. So that's great. Coach Sprinkle, home run hire. I'm so excited for him. He really seems to get what it means to be a Husky. And it seems like this is his dream job. So if he does a really good job, we're going to be able to keep him. We just need to make sure that he has the finances and the tools to be as successful as he could be. So that's my final thought.
He mentioned something in his presser today that he wants a player-led team, meaning that installing the culture and instilling within them the ability to lead from within and not have him be, micromanaging everything. Well, he's got some guys who know how to do it. Guys like Great Osabor. And I'm trying to think of the guard's name, Mason Fouslev. I hope I'm saying that right. And my man, the 7-footer, Isaac Johnson, who is a former Duck, by the way. And I was really impressed with him in the first game that I watched the other night. He got in foul trouble against Purdue. Everybody got in foul trouble against Purdue, so he didn't play that much. I think that kid, I think he's only a sophomore, eligibility-wise. 7-footer. Who can move, who can shoot, who can do different things. I think he's a guy who can develop into a pro. And let's not forget a young man who was a former Husky, who was on that Utah State roster, Jackson Grant. Can you imagine transferring from UW to go to Utah State to play for Danny Sprinkle, and Danny goes to UW? It's going to be a little awkward. I don't know what's going to happen, if he's going to stay there, if he's going to want to.
I think he'd have to sit out a year if he transferred back.
Probably would. It would just be awful. But I'm looking at this roster and I'm like, oh my God, Jackson, no. So my heart's going out to him. So yeah, I hope that some of these guys do join in the fun, and I hope that we can keep some of these guys. I still don't know what's going to happen with Will Conroy and Quincy Pondexter. These are stand-up individuals who are true Huskies, and they have done everything they could to help this program stay afloat. Also, next week, I'm going to be flying up for the UW Coaches Clinic, the Be a Pro Coaches Clinic, a 2-day event. I'm excited. If any of you guys are going to the coaches clinic as well, hit me up via social media. Love to talk with you guys. I'm just a football nerd, so anytime I can go spend a weekend with guys like Bill Belichick and Mike McDonald and John Schneider, and then this host of new coaches that I have to get to know and pick their brains. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
That's awesome. Well, thanks guys for floating the ship while I dealt with my kiddos. For Trevor Mueller, UW Leah, Coach V, go dogs.
Go dogs. Shout out to Jay Grant.
Shout out, JCap. Sorry, Cougs.